In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight we conclude our services called the Gospel of Isaiah. And tonight we look at chapter 42 of his book. In this last part, the prophet talks about someone whom he calls the servant of the Lord, such as in verse 1 of our reading. The term servant is used many times in Isaiah, sometimes referring to all of Israel, but other times referring to one special person. And it is this special person that God is talking about here tonight. He calls him my chosen one in whom I delight. This language is echoed in Jesus' baptism when the Father spoke from the sky, saying, "You are my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And again, at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father speaks, "This is my Son, whom I love, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." God then said through Isaiah, "I will put my Spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." In Jesus' inaugural sermon, he quoted another passage from this book with a similar message. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Jesus had said that Isaiah is talking about him. He is the chosen one, the servant of God, anointed with the Spirit of God to bring good news to all people. But what kind of justice will he bring? For the general public, justice is usually a good word. For the innocent, the victims, justice is good news. It means punishment for the criminal. It means vindication for the innocent. The wicked should be afraid of a king who brings justice. But what about us? Sometimes we too have behaved like the wicked people. We too have broken God's laws. We have transgressed against our neighbor. So is justice good for you and I or not? Will God convict us? The words justice and righteousness are sometimes interchangeable in the Bible. They're two closely related terms. We are not righteous in ourselves. And justice would require that we would receive our just deserts. And what we deserve is to be stricken by God. God's justice requires that every sin be paid for by someone, either by you or by someone in your place. The prophet says that the Messiah will then bring justice. He will bring righteousness. But as another prophet explained, "The righteous, the just, shall live by faith." St. Paul uses that same verse when he writes, "Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith." On our own, we would be found guilty and condemned. But now a justice, a righteousness from God has come to us. We are declared righteous. We are justified, not by our obedience to the law, but by faith, by trusting in the merits of Christ. It's fitting, then, that Isaiah goes on to emphasize the mercy of this special servant of God. Verse 3 states, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." The bruised reed in this passage represents the people of God who have been bruised by life. Bruised by the inconsiderate things that people have said to us or done to us. Bruised reeds are people who are weak and struggle through each day. They are people like you and I. Some are quick to dispense with these people, to write them off. They say, "You are a loser. You're worthless. You don't matter." A bruised reed is a person who has been battered around, not only by the sins of others, but by their own sin. Because when we live for ourselves, as if other people do not matter, we not only hurt them, but we hurt ourselves as well. Sin isolates. It degrades us. It weakens us so that we resemble less and less the glory that we were created to do. A reed, of course, is a kind of grass. It's a long, thin, hollow leaf that has many uses. But if a reed gets bent, if it gets bruised in any way, it won't stand up anymore. It won't be much use. The bruised reed is the person who can't stand up, who has a weak spot, or maybe a number of weak spots that make them useless. Some of us, too, of course, are smoldering wicks. Maybe we used to be shining lights, but now we're just burned out. The pressures and stresses of this life have taken their toll. Maybe we don't pray like we used to, or read the scriptures as we should. The flaming desire you once had for God has gone down to a flicker. The Messiah is the one who brings justice, but he also shows compassion to the weak and the weary. The 19th century atheist philosopher Nietzsche hated the Christian church. He was of the opinion that Christianity was one of the most negative forces in society because it so sympathized with the weak. He thought this was bad. Helping the sick, the deformed, damaged people only made the society weaker in the long run. He was a good Darwinist, evolutionist. He believed in the survival of the fittest, and that only by weeding out the weak and the lonely, the dejected, the outsiders, the fringe, could a culture and society really gain its strength and come into its own. Of course, we know Nietzsche's philosophy mostly by someone named Adolf Hitler. Hitler believed that Christianity was such a negative force on society. It was weak. It was useless. Now, I suppose, in the eyes of the world, perhaps that makes sense. It is hard to care for the weak and those in need. Showing mercy is painful. It's expensive. It requires sacrifice. And yet, that is precisely what this servant, Jesus, comes to bring. The way of the world is to kick you when you're down, bruise you, to snuff out the wick, to cast away the rubbish. But the way of the Messiah is to throw out the rich, the strong, the powerful, and to lift up the despised. Think of St. Peter, for example. So brave, so proud, so strong, so faithful, so certain that his confession of faith would hold until the very end. Until the moment of truth. And he denied our Lord 3 times. Can you imagine what's going through Jesus' head as he forgives Peter? Is he thinking, what if he does it again? Can I really trust that he's going to be what he should be? And yet our Lord forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. 70 times 7, he forgives. Peter was not useless. This bruised reed was held up. And so are you. Another way we might put it is this. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. God is in the business of taking broken people and turning them into something that testifies to his glory. God's grace is dependent on Jesus and what he has done for us. He is revealed as the one who will make something out of your life when the world is ready to toss you out. He will complete his work in you. The Bible says that his power is perfected in our weakness. God chooses the weak things of the world rather than the strong. God chooses us, you and I, not because we have so much to offer, but because of what he can do and because of what he has done through Jesus Christ, our great servant. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.